and was shaken by passing trains. Sir Aaron Armstrong, as he boisterously explained, had no nerves. But if the train had often given a shock to the house, that morning the tables were turned, and it was the house that gave a shock to the train. The engine slowed down and stopped just beyond that point where an angle of the house impinged upon the sharp slope of the turf. The arrest of most mechanical things must be slow, but the living cause of this had been very rapid. A man clad completely in black, even, it was remembered, to the dreadful detail of black gloves, appeared on the ridge above the engine, and waved his black hands like some sable windmill. This in itself would hardly have stopped even a lingering train. But there came out of him a cry which was talked of afterwards as something utterly unnatural and new. It was one of those shouts that are horridly distinct, even when we cannot hear what he shouted. The word in this case was murder. But the engine driver swears he would have pulled up just the same if he had heard only the dreadful and definite accent and not the word. The train, once arrested, the most superficial stare could take in many features of the tragedy. The man in black on the green bank was Sir Aaron Armstrong's manservant, Magnus. The baronet, in his optimism, had often laughed at the black gloves of this dismal attendant, but no one was likely to laugh at him just now, so soon as an inquirer or two had stepped off the line and across.